There are two places for you to be in this world, in the zone or out of the zone. You want in, and when you get in, you'll want to stay in. Coming to you from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network, you are where you want to be, in the zone. Yes, I
can. Hilo will inbound. He gets it into Nance, gets the ball back, drives to the hoop, lays it in with 3 seconds to go. Two injured Warriors, Hilo with an ankle, Price with an injured groin, have played the games of their lives, considering the importance this afternoon.
That's the highlight that nobody ever hears or sees anymore. Welcome back to the Zone. Justin Akre, Chris Kane, live from Ideal Feet in West Little Rock. We're about to go to the phones. And that was a bucket by Craig Hilo to put his team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, up in that game that ended with the shot. 3 seconds left, an unbelievable performance on a bad ankle for Craig Hilo. But again, that's not the shot that everybody talks about. It's the shot that Jordan hit on the next possession, the final possession of the game. And we are going to go to the Revolution Hotline in a second and talk to Craig Hilo, find out what he's up to now.
Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you? Where are you?
Where are you now?
Thrilled to be joined by Craig Hilo. Craig, welcome to the Zone. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Craig, I don't know how many interviews you've done talking about this shot, but I'm guessing most people have never played the highlight that you actually made prior to that very often, or at least maybe never, but certainly not a lot.
Yeah, can you believe that? Just a few seconds earlier, I was like going to be the hero of Cleveland and putting us up, but when you leave 3 seconds on the clock for one of the greatest players to ever play the game, then that's what goes. That's what happens. It goes unnoticed because he makes an incredible shot.
I'll give Coach Wilkins credit, and I'm assuming he's the one that drew up that play. It was a great play because you were the inbounder and the recipient of an excellent pass as you drove in for what was virtually an uncontested layup, and then you crumbled to the ground. What kind of physical condition were you in at that point? Because they referred to your ankle injury during that that game.
Yeah, you're going to get a kick out of this. I wasn't a starter. I came off the bench. I was a sub for Coach Wilkins. A day, maybe 2 days before when we were practicing, I was the scout team. And believe it or not, I was number 23. So I was trying to pull off some of his moves in practice to get Harper ready to play against him. Mm-hmm. And, I just got a little too carried away and rolled my ankle in practice, and it swelled up like a grapefruit. But with the trainer and, taping it up and getting out there. I mean, I'm one of those guys that would have sucked it up anyway and tried to play. But I got my ankle back into shape where I could actually play and be comfortable in the game. And then on that shot that you saw where I grimaced, I landed on it just like I did in practice, and it just sent a stinger up up my leg into my head. But I just was. You're so right about Coach Wilkins. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player, but he's also a Hall of Fame coach. And he knew that they were going to key on Harper and Price, so he used them as a decoy. And he said, hey, the simple give and go is going to work because no one ever guards the man that throws the ball in. And I think Hubie Brown even exerted that when he was announcing.
Craig Hilo joining us on the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. And you talked about simulating Jordan during the week. You did a pretty good simulation in the fourth quarter in that game. 22 in the game, 15 points in the fourth quarter. And, again, none of that's talked about today. Pretty impressive.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say it was amazing. The last 3 minutes were just nip and tuck game. And I was fortunate enough to actually hit a couple of threes in the last minute. And, it felt pretty good matching Michael point for point.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, you did a pretty darn fine simulation. So, I do have to give credit where it's due. I saw a story on Deadspin. They had talked to you about this leading up to the the 50th birthday of Michael Jordan, as we were talking about. I mean, it's amazing the love fest America still has with Michael Jordan. You've been a pretty good sport about the shot that that followed that propelled Michael Jordan and the Bulls to, you know, a few championships, not that year, but I guess sort of was their big step in the right direction. How many times have you seen that highlight, and how many times have you had it reenacted in front of you?
Well, I'm going to give you the date that it actually happened, May 5th, 1989. And this year, believe it or not, I even helped a Chicago radio station celebrate, like, the 30th anniversary of the shot. So I'm not surprised at it because Michael hit a lot of game winners, but you're exactly right. That one happened to be where the Bulls were just making their run. And, of course, they lost to the Pistons that year, who won the NBA championship in 89. And so that shot kind of propelled them into their run of the three championships before he retired the first time.
Well, you can answer a question that a lot of people have always wondered. What's it like, you know, guarding Michael Jordan? And I'm sure Michael Jordan gets the question all the time. What's it like? What was it like guarding Craig Ehlo?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I know Coach Wilkins always said, you know, you got to shoot the ball on the offensive end, make Michael play defense. But it was funny. I took my son to his camp in Santa Barbara, and on Friday when he signs all the autographs, he's in a room by himself, and he grabbed my son and said, "Hey, come here. I'm going to tell you the real story about your dad, how mean he was on defense and how he always scratched me or clawed me or held me." So that was kind of unique that he took Austin, my son, aside to tell him the stories from his point of view. But I don't know if you read the article. My dad was a great father. He never pushed me, or he always said the right thing. And he always said, you know, when you play the best, it'll get the best out of you. And that's the way I approached every game with the Chicago Bulls. I was in the same division with them, so I saw Michael and the Chicago Bulls quite a bit. And then three of the 7 years I was in Cleveland, we played them in the playoffs, so I saw him extra. And, you know, it's funny. I loved the fact that I was in the game at that time. And when people say, you know, "Boy, you should have committed suicide," and stuff, I'm like, "Hey, it was a game, and I was there." And that was the main thing. So I always try to keep, you know, the right perspective on it.
Craig Ehlo joining us on the Revolution Hotline. That team, you know, because, again, there were a lot of really impressive teams at that period in time. It was really a heyday for the NBA, and that was kind of my coming of age as an NBA fan. But that Cleveland Cavaliers team, despite having, in fact, it was funny, I saw Brad Doherty this morning doing NASCAR commentary, which still I get excited. But Mark Price and you and Larry Nance, and you mentioned Harper, who ended up as a Bull. I mean, just such a great team. Maybe one of the best that, you know, never quite got all the way to the championship.
You're exactly right. We had all-stars and Mark Price, Brad Doherty, and Larry Nance. And unfortunately, we traded Harper for Danny Ferry. And seriously, if we would have kept that team together, we would have been what Magic Johnson said, the team of the 90s, because it was so fun playing with Coach Wilkins and that group, because we were a team on any given night, you know, anyone from the bench to the starters could lead the team in scoring, and it was because we played a team game. We ran offenses that got people shots. So, yeah, it was a fun 7 years in Cleveland.
Mark Price is a guy that doesn't get a lot of, you know, mentions now that he's retired too, but I remember him being a little bulldog at point guard, and I mean, he was such a tough guy. I mean, he looked like the guy in the high school yearbook. He just looked like Mr. Friendly, but he was such a bulldog, man, at point guard.
He was. It was funny because I know when he was at Georgia Tech, I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and they said choir boy, which is really true. The kid was very musically talented as much as he was at basketball, and he loved to sing and stuff, but he was he never had long hair. It was always above the ear, and it was always in place, and he was just a pit bull when it came to playing. He did not like take Scotty Brooks, for example, that is the coach of the OKC now. He hated playing against Scotty Brooks because Brooks would pick him up 94 feet. And there were other guys like Scott Skiles that he hated playing against, Isaiah Thomas. And every time that he played against those guys, it was always just fun to watch him because he would not back down from anyone. And the amazing thing was we drafted Kevin Johnson with the number 6 pick or number 7 pick in one of the drafts. And that just made Mark fume that, you know, they were drafting a point guard.
Right.
And our Cleveland team, the year that we drafted Kevin, was the best team that I ever played on. And it was all because those two went at each other every day in practice, and it just rubbed off on the rest of us. And Mark was just not going to give up his job to Kevin Johnson. And then that's why we traded Kevin for Larry Nance, is because Mark was just such a, you know, he was not going to let anybody take starting away from him.
I love it. Craig Elo joining us on the Zone on the Revolution Hotline, talking about the shot and some other things. So I want to ask you about what you're doing now. I know you're an assistant coach at Eastern Washington, and you made the interesting move. A lot of guys go from being a coach to being an analyst. You were an analyst for a while for Gonzaga, and then you said, well, I'll get into coaching. So what was the move? How did that come about?
Well, I like to think of myself as a competitive person, and broadcasting was fun, and I did it for about 8 or 9 years. And it was always the first few years, it was always fun because I felt like during the broadcast that, you know, all you had to do was talk about the game. But as a coach, you take ownership in wins and losses. And for some reason, the last few years that I was broadcasting, I didn't have that competitive fire anymore. I did my research and kind of just went through the motions. And I was just going home empty, and I didn't like that feeling at all. And the only way I knew how to get that feeling back, you know, the fire in the belly kind of thing, was to go to coaching, and that's exactly what it is. And now I'm at Eastern Washington with a good friend, Jim Hayford, the head coach. It's fun to go home now, and when you win, it's a good feeling, but when you lose, you're trying to, you know, it's a challenge to see what you can do. So that was the only way I knew how to get that competitive fire back.
Craig, we only have a couple of minutes to the top of the hour, but I do want to get a few more questions in real quick if we can rapid fire a few of these.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk nowadays about Kobe or LeBron, and it seems like every week we're talking about this, and it's always in comparison, of course, to Michael. But, you know, what are your thoughts on those two guys? Where do you think LeBron's going to end up in the history of the NBA?
I was very lucky that I worked for Nike and the Skills Academy. So I worked with LeBron and his Skills Academy for about 4 years. And LeBron is such an awesome player as far as his size and what he does with the basketball. And it's truly amazing, you know, that he fills up the stat sheet every night like he does. Mm-hmm. But the guy has such a history for the game. And I was lucky enough that he was a young pup growing up in Akron when I was in Cleveland. So he talks about our Cavs teams all the time that he watched and learned. So it's always a real pleasure to hear him being interviewed, where he always mentions, you know, something about the history of the game. And I remember one time he beat Orlando with a last second shot in Cleveland, and you know, he mentioned our my team, and he said, hey, that's for Doherty and Price and Elo for all those games that they lost at the buzzer. I think he's going to be one of the top players to ever play the game. If you want to compare him to MJ, I think the only comparison that you can really do is probably compare the championships that they win. And right now, Michael's got a big lead on him. So that's what drives LeBron James.
Craig, I wish we had more time with you. Real quick, give me, you know, we've played this Joakim Noah clip a ton of times. We don't have time to get it in now. And he made a comment a couple years ago, what's so great about Cleveland? Give me a couple things quickly that are great about Cleveland.
It's a blue-collar town, they work very hard at what they do, a lot of factories and things like that, and they love their sports teams, and they supported us in every way and fashion. So that's what I loved the most about it, was that they really, in their heart, really wanted the Cleveland any Cleveland team to win, and that's what was amazing and so good about Cleveland.
We're up against it. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Furnishings, landscaping, and innovative ideas for your home. Come to the 61st Annual Home Show, Arkansas's premier home showcase. More than 200 vendors from various industries will feature the most comprehensive selection of home products and services under one roof February 22nd.